Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi! Thank you so much for joining me for the very first episode of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. If you are here because you know me from my kick-ass witch, Putting the K in Magic, I am so grateful that you took this leap with me over to Blog Talk Radio. And if you have no idea who I am and have just stumbled upon this show, welcome to you too. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic. And Kick-Ass Witch is all about personal development and how to create the kick-ass life of your dreams. And the emphasis there on my blog and in my videos is psychology, personal development, self-help and nutrition, all things that I deem magical because they really helped me to transform myself from a very scared, anxious, and depressed kind of person to the happy hippie person that I am today. And it's magic to me because these things enabled me to finally get on with the business of living and to begin to create with some consistency the kick-ass life of my dreams. But there's another kind of magic that I'm interested in, and I have always been a very spiritual person. That's a really important aspect to my life. It's a daily aspect to my life, and it's something that I really want to talk about. So I thought it would be nice to have this little hub or little corner of the world where I can talk about magic and my personal spiritual path with you guys. So I just want to make a little disclaimer here and say that this is my personal path. I'm happy to share it with you, but I am certainly not suggesting that this is the one true way and that you must follow me. I'm not a person who believes that there is one true way or one path. There are as many paths as there are people on the planet, and the more that you personalize your spirituality, the more powerful it will be. So for me, my own unique brand of spirituality is a little bit irreverent and silly and playful. It's very joyful and love-based. And it really happens for me at the place where magic with a K intersects with the law of attraction. So I guess I should start by defining what magic with a K means. People who put the K on the end of the word magic, what we're trying to do is to differentiate real magic from the illusions of stage magicians. And I really like Aleister Crowley's definition of what real magic is. He says that it is creating change in conformity with one's will. So, sorry, I lost you there for a second. So creating change in conformity with one's will. The first time that I encountered real magic and realized that I could indeed create change in conformity with my will was when I came across and started to actually apply the principles of the law of attraction, which basically, in a nutshell, work like this. First, you want to mentally set an intention for whatever it is that you desire or want to create in your life. And then you focus upon that intention with absolute focus, applying sustained emotion, which in the law of attraction is also known as vibration. And then hopefully you take action that is in alignment with whatever it is you want to create, keeping in mind that like attracts like, and energy begets energy. Not everybody believes that you have to take action out in the real world. I believe that you do at least have to take action, maybe even if it's just the action of creating a spell and putting your energy into that, because I really believe that that like attracts like and energy begets energy, and that it's important that you meet the universe halfway in this creation that you're trying to make happen. And then the final thing is you just want to stay loose and in a place of non-resistance or allowing, so that this thing or experience that you're trying to create has a clear and easy passage to find its way to you. And meditation is something that comes really in handy here. It's about not sending out mixed signals. The law of attraction will do whatever it is that you vibrationally tell it to do, not necessarily what you're thinking about, but more what you're feeling and how you're vibrating. So if you're consciously thinking, money, 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 I am rich, I am wealthy, money, 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 but emotionally you're filled with self-doubt and maybe you have low self-esteem, then you are sending a mixed signal and blocking your manifestation from coming into being. So that's it. Law of attraction in a nutshell. That's what I'm going to be talking about on this show, so I will definitely expand on that in future episodes. But I'd like to add before I go on that I'm a person who believes that we are co-creating our reality. And that means that for the most part, you do consciously create your reality, whether you are aware of it or not. Your thoughts and feelings are creating your reality. But there's still that mysterious X factor that comes into play. And you can call that God or goddess, source energy, the divine, maybe even just your higher self, but something beyond your own conscious mind and your own conscious needs is going to have its say in your life. And not everyone who practices the law of attraction believes this, but I do. And the best piece of evidence for my theory that I can offer is that we are all going to die. There are a lot of people who try to defy this law of the universe, and there are some people who think that they are not going to die, but as far as I know, everyone, every human so far that has lived on this planet has died or is going to die, despite whatever nutritional program they put in place or how long they meditate or how many rungs up the ladder of yogi perfection they attain. So to me, that just speaks to the fact that there is something beyond our control that is at play and that we need to work with and that we are co-creating with. And I think that the more that you can get into alignment with that, the better off you're going to be and the better your magic is going to work. There's a book by Wayne Dyer called Real Magic, and he has a quote that I really like in this book, so I thought I would read it to you, and it goes like this. You have the capacity to create miracles and live a life of real magic by using your invisible self to influence your physical reality. When you truly become a spiritual being first and a physical being second and know how to live and breathe in this new alignment, you will become your own miracle worker. And all throughout that book, he uses the words miracle and magic interchangeably. But I think what this quote says is that we are co-creating our reality, and that when you become a spiritual being first, when you align with your higher self or source energy first, before you get focused on the physical reality around you, your creations are going to be more in alignment with who you really are and what you really came to do here on the planet, what your purpose is. I think that certainly you can create from a place of ego. And I know many people do. I think that it's absolutely possible to have an ego-based practice and create just out of lust and greed and desire, and that you don't necessarily have to be aligned with your higher self or the divine to consciously create for yourself. But I think that in the end, you're not really going to get that satisfaction and that fulfillment that you think that the money and the sex and the attention and the fame is going to get for you. It's just that classic idea of someone who acquires a lot of riches or who works really hard on their body and maybe even gets some plastic surgery in an attempt to make themselves happy. But in the end, they just have that empty, hollow feeling inside, and they never quite get that sense of being fulfilled and happy. So that's where I like to come from, and that's from the point that I like to create from. So for me, magic with a K, this conscious creating, this creating change and conformity with my will, that began with the law of attraction, like I said. But as far as magic with a K goes, practicing the law of attraction, as magical as it is, there's a part of me that's just very, very artsy. And as a creative person, I just found myself being drawn to the art and beauty of witchcraft. So ultimately, that's where my path led, and that's what I'm going to talk about more in next week's episode. This week, I just kind of wanted to tell you, you know, how I came to magic through the law of attraction. But as far as witchcraft goes, it kind of gave me more of an artistic framework for practicing the law of attraction and some excellent focusing tools. It helps enhance my practice, keeping it very fresh and interesting. So whereas a typical law of attraction practitioner might work with vision boards and scripting and affirmations, all things that I still use and love, a witch or magical practitioner typically works with spells of various complexity. They might create a poppet or brew a special elixir or build a talisman. I happen to like my spells to be very simple and nature-based. I think Scott Cunningham's Earth Magic, that book is a great resource for getting some ideas for some very simple nature-based spells. And I like it. I think it's very powerful, the more simple. I'm into keep it simple, sweetie. I like that saying, and it works for me. I am really not big on calling in the quarters or casting a circle in any kind of traditional way. I'm definitely not into ceremonial magic or even a lot of ritual magic. I mean, I have engaged in those things, and I do from time to time set up more elaborate rituals for special occasions or just because I'm in the mood to. But in general, I prefer to just ground and center myself with breath or chakra work. And I'll often use like a little bit of incense or a scented oil to help shift into a magical mindset. And I always work at my altar, which is kind of a meditation slash magical altar. And I only use that for meditating or for creating magic because I really subscribe to that Pavlovian theory that, you know, the more you do something at a particular place in a particular way, the faster you're able to, you know, do it, get into that meditative state or that magical frame of mind. So I just use that place for meditating and doing magic, or I just use a particular incense to get into that mindset or a particular oil. And I'm really into keeping my magic very quick and easy and practical and portable. I want it to be instantly available in a pinch. So I think Christopher Pinczak's book, Instant Magic, is really great if that's something that you're interested in. I think, you know, developing a mudra, a little hand gesture that works for you, is awesome. And he talks about that. It's just really creating a neural pathway in your brain so that you know every time you put your hand into a certain position, you are going into a magical state of mind. And that is something that you can do anywhere. I am a busy mom with a special needs kid. I work from home running my own business, and I have a fairly big house for one person to keep clean, and I am responsible for keeping three animals and three people fed. So I need a magic that works quickly and fast for me. So I tend to reject all of these very elaborate components to what you might consider typical witchcraft. What I do take from witchcraft and what I really enjoy is working with nature, the plant kingdom in particular. I don't so much subscribe to the magical properties of plants and using them as correspondences and spell work, but I'm very much into their nutritional, medicinal, healing, even their shamanic properties. I believe that we have a co-creative relationship with plants. You might even say codependent, because we cannot breathe without them and vice versa. And, you know, we wear them, we smoke them, we drink them, we live in houses made of them, we eat them. So I really like to foster that relationship with the plant kingdom, and that's something that witchcraft and magic has helped me to do. Another aspect of that that I very much enjoy is the language of symbols, which I believe to be a very special language that allows us to bypass the conscious mind and speak directly to the subconscious, our innermost self, and even spirit or the divine. And symbols are everywhere. We all use them. We all respond to them. My favorite way to work with symbols is with the tarot. And I've been reading tarot for now almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in May. And I don't read professionally for other people. I just read for myself. And I'm a huge bookworm, like maybe the worst bookworm that you have ever met. But I really believe in an experiential kind of learning. I think you have to put what you've learned in a book or from a guru or some lecture, you have to put it into practice to really know it. You're never really going to understand it if you just experience it intellectually. And that's really why I love the tarot, and I read it just about every single day. It's helped me in a lot of different ways understand, like, archetypes, for example, which has helped me. When I first got into witchcraft, I was very put off by all of the talk of gods and goddesses and this pantheon and that pantheon. It just seemed very strange to me that people of today's modern age were into that. And through the tarot and eventually understanding how archetypes are symbols that speak to that deeper part of ourselves, I was able to better embrace the mythology that so many pagans write about and talk about and incorporate into their practice. And it gave me a way to embrace the god and goddess, since I am a person that does not believe in personified deity. I don't believe in worshiping an anthropomorphized god or goddess. So understanding archetypes really helped me key into that. And then the last thing that kind of comes full circle with me saying that it gave me, you know, my relationship with nature and it helped me tap into that, is that I really enjoy walking the wheel of the year and pausing, you know, every 6 weeks or so to recognize and celebrate and reflect on the changing seasons and how I'm changing as the seasons change, because as above, so below, and, you know, the macrocosm of the universe and the earth changing seasonally, I think is reflected within us individually, and that we kind of shift along with it. So I enjoy tapping into that. And then I think I'll just quickly give you a little tour of how I came to the law of attraction and how I came to getting into magic in the first place. So later on, when you come across something in my show and you're like, where did she come by this information? How did she get into all this? You can refer back to this introductory video and be like, okay, so that's who this lady is. As an adult, I have always lived a fairly solitary life, particularly in my 20s. I got a divorce at 23, right around the time my son was diagnosed with autism. My husband left, and I was a very young mother who I got married in Bakersfield, my hometown, at 18, and then moved to Hollywood at 19 to, you know, pursue my big Hollywood dreams, and then got pregnant right away. And then found myself, like I said, at 23, getting a divorce with a son who was severely autistic at a time when people didn't know anything about autism. And I also had some major mental health issues. I suffered from extreme depression and anxiety and a little bit of agoraphobia, sometimes a lot, depending on the day. And so, you know, I self-isolated a lot and really poured myself into learning. And I found the New Age world. And I have to give Oprah Winfrey credit for that, because right around that time in the early 90s, she was introducing her audience to all of these spiritual gurus and launching something called Change Your Life TV. And just quickly to backtrack, I grew up in an extremely Christian home. We went to church, you know, twice on Sunday. Every Wednesday we did Bible study in my home. My parents were founders of the church and leaders in the church, and I had a big relationship with Jesus. I loved Jesus. I did not question Jesus at all as a kid. I talked to him every day. Or didn't question the existence of him until I got into my teenage years, and I started kind of noticing the hypocrisy in the church and how a lot of the people that were higher up in it were very self-righteous and judgmental, and how that didn't really seem to jive with the teachings of Jesus. And then in my mid-teens, three of my grandparents died, and one in particular, his death was a huge pivotal moment in my life, spiritually speaking, because at his funeral, I asked a family member why there wasn't a preacher overseeing the ceremony, and this person told me that it's because he wasn't a Christian. And when I asked if that's because he didn't go to heaven, they didn't really answer me in words so much, but the look on their face said it all. And so that's when I just really lost my faith and went into this whole tailspin of kind of being lost for 8 years or so until I found this New Age world and got into learning about what I came to realize later was the law of attraction. And the first book that really introduced me to this concept was Deepak Chopra's The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, which I didn't realize at the time, but that book basically outlines the principles of the law of attraction. And at the time, I was in my early 20s, and it was so over my head. I had no idea what he was talking about. This is one of his first books, and it's in a kind of formal, stiff language. I think he has a Hindi background, maybe. And so it was in a language that didn't quite click with me, but I knew there was something powerful in there, and I was very interested. And the concepts of pure potentiality and the law of least resistance just really fascinated me. So I read that book over and over again. I got my hands on a copy of Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life, which introduced me to the power of affirmations. And in that book, she's got an index in the back of the book where you can basically look up any symptom that you're having physically or mentally, anything that's bugging you, and she gives you an affirmation for healing that. And basically, all of the affirmations boil down to, I love and approve of myself. So that also began my path to self-healing and learning how to love and accept myself. Also around that time, I came across Wayne Dyer's book, Real Magic, like I mentioned, and that got me thinking about magic and how these concepts I was learning might be magic. That's right around the time I got my first witchy books, which I'll talk about more next week. But I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to quickly wrap this up. Around that time, I also got into a book called Opening to Channel by Sanaya Roman. So maybe a couple years into that journey, I got into channeling. And this book kind of embarrassed me. I thought it was kind of freaky. So when people would come over, I would like hide it in the back of my bookshelf or under my bed. But when I practiced what this book was teaching me to do, I found that channeling came very easily to me, and that I was somehow communicating with a spirit outside of myself or perhaps my higher self, but the messages that were coming through were definitely beyond me at the time or beyond my conscious thoughts. They were very beautiful, spiritual, loving messages, a lot to do with the holographic universe and the law of attraction and all of that stuff. So maybe, you know, my subconscious was just picking up what I was learning and representing it to me in this way. But nonetheless, I became very enchanted with channeling. And then many years later, sometime around like 2004, I think, a book came out by Abraham Hicks called Ask and It Is Given. And to me, that is the Bible of the law of attraction. And that's when everything that I had learned up until that point, you know, channeling and getting into all these different healing modalities and the New Age thoughts, that all kind of came to life for me, and it really clicked, and then I was really off and running, and I found that the law of attraction was powerful and that I could consciously create with my mind and that it had so much to do with my sense of self-love and how I was feeling and the vibration I was holding. And that's when I really came to understand this is magic and this is real. And then a couple of years after that, of course, The Secret exploded, and then everybody was into the law of attraction. And that kind of irritates some people, but I actually think that's pretty cool because it's a very empowering concept and a very empowering way of life. And I think the more the merrier, the more of us that are practicing living this way, the happier we're all going to be and the better off we're all going to be and the more we're all going to get along. And you know, if you're creating a life that makes you happy, you're going to be less prone to go after and attacking other people. So I am happy the more people that find the law of attraction, the better it is for me, the better it is for all of us. And then last year, I just want to add that Teal Scott, who I interviewed for my YouTube show, Every Which Way, she came out with a book called The Sculptor in the Sky that I really think adds to this law of attraction discussion. She has some very fresh ideas. It's the first book I've seen that has come out since Ask and It Is Given that actually adds something to the conversation. So if you haven't gotten a copy of that yet, I highly recommend that you do. And then I also, before I go, I just want to mention that Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now is very important to understanding the law of attraction, because that is about how now, being in the present, is your point of creation. And you can't create if you're living in the past, which is prone to create feelings like depression or grief or regret. And you can't create if you're living in the future, which might be creating anxiety or stress for you. Your power point is in the now. It is when you are present. And that book can explain it better than I am right now. And I know I just threw a lot of books at you, but I'm going to throw two more into the conversation so that you understand in later episodes where I'm coming from when I talk about shadow work and the chakra system. Debbie Ford's Dark Side of the Light Chasers is the book that first taught me about shadow work long before I ever got into witchcraft, and shadow work is such an important part of witchcraft. So the New Age community is hip with that just as much as the witchy community. And then Eastern Body, Western Mind is the book that really helped me understand the chakras. Whoops, that's my warning, 90 seconds. Eastern Body, Western Mind is the book that really helped me understand the chakra system, which I now use alongside the law of attraction. And I believe that it is in your heart chakra and your heart center that you are the most powerful and that you are able to most powerfully create consciously. So I will also be talking about that in future episodes. So this is telling me I only have 60 seconds left to wrap it up. So I hope that I didn't just assault you with an onslaught of information that you couldn't keep up with. Hopefully you hung with me and you had a good time. Thank you so much for joining me on this very first episode, and much love to you. Peace.